Our first reading is from Psalm 19, the full chapter. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs out to course with joy, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than it in gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Second reading is from Acts 14, verses 14 through 18. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. And then another reading from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. So Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is served by human hands, as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of our own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art of imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead."
I'll be reading from Romans 1, verses 18 through 32 in the ESV translation. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his internal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in them the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. Please be seated. Just give me a moment. I'm going to grab my Bible. So we find out in Romans, things start to come to a head. Paul is now, for the next right around three chapters, is going to start causing us to sit at the backs of our seats, in a way. He's going to start talking about sin, our sin. He starts by calling out the sin of the past generation and what they did. So, if we remember Paul was a Pharisee. So he would have been well-versed in the scriptures. And so he would have known about this because he would have studied the law. And so Paul is now calling out sin. He is coming right at me and right at all of us and is saying, so with these theys that are in there, there's lots of theys. And when I was reading it, I started to think of the we or me. Later on, Paul will talk about, in chapter 2, he'll say, for you as well have done this. But when I'm reading Romans 1, I was changing the theys. So, for example, for the wrath of God is revealed from the heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by our unrighteousness. So I was saying the we's, because it starts to put it not on other people, but it starts to put it on me when I was reading it. Because we are not so different from the people in the Old Testament. We as well, because the knowledge has been given to us through creation. So we talk about revelation. There's revelation happening in here. It's the general revelation, which is the revelation that God has given to everybody. It's what he created. So the trees, the birds, the animals, the sky, all of that has revealed God's majesty. And that is what makes the people without excuse. He has revealed himself to them. He revealed himself through the prophets. He has told them. He's given them warning. Therefore, they are without excuse. And therefore, we are without excuse. But something is different between what they have and what we have. Not only do we have God's creation, we also have scriptures. And we also have the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have the general revelation and we have special revelation. The special revelation was given to us through the apostles, which is the word, and Jesus Christ was given to us. They went out and proclaimed who Jesus was for us, for the salvation of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are without excuse. We have the written manuscript of God, who God is, what he has done. We can look to the stars and see God's divine nature. And we can also look on to Jesus Christ, that there is no excuse. And so what has happened is, by our own sin nature, we reject it. The fall of Adam is what's causing us to reject Christ. And it would be a shame for me when I talk about these chunks of scriptures to not talk about God's wrath. It is very real. It is not something to be pushed over. It is very real. Even though we have Jesus Christ and we can look onto him for mercy and grace, God's punishment is still real. God's punishment still happens. And when we reject God, punishment happens. God is a patient God. We find out that God has been patient with them. In Acts, you see that God was patient. He doesn't, his God's first response was not to destroy them. In fact, he provided for them, God's providence. He gave them fruits. He gave them food. He provided for them so that they could be taken care of. And they still chose other gods. They still chose to not give thanks to God. They chose to give thanks to the creature that they thought was the actual, like the bull, right? Oh, thank you for the meat. So we're going to worship this cow or this bull, or we're going to worship trees and plants and animals instead of worshiping and thanking the God Yahweh for providing for us. And so this is why we are without excuse, and this is why we are being punished, is because we have rejected it. Our own sinful nature is rejecting God, and God is saying, okay, go and have it. So that's when we come to, give me a second to find it, verse 26, it says, "For this reason God gave them up to a dishonorable passions." So the question would be, well, why would God do that? Why would God do that to us? Well, we chose it. That's why God did it. We chose it. We chose to give up what is godly for what is ungodly. That's our choice. And so God is saying, okay, go and have that. And because of what we have chosen, this is the outcome, that it's not good. We fall into sin, and so Paul lists the multitude of sins, right? Maliciousness, slanderers, haughtiness, right? Being boastful, right? Committing shameless acts of sexual relations among people with our own same gender. There's all these things that we have chosen to reject God with, and we have chosen to accept ungodliness, and therefore, this is what's happening. It's the sin starts to spiral. We start to spiral down in our sin. The outcomes is what is not good. It's what's bad. And this is the outcome that we have chosen. And when we go into Psalms, we find that David has this awe of God. This awe that when he looks in creation, he just sees God's majesty. And then he talks about the Word and what the Word does. And this is why we need it. Because of our sin, because of our transgressions, we need the gospel. We need Jesus. It keeps us right with him. It keeps us from falling into sin and into the traps, into being, when we're tempted, it pulls us out of temptation. It keeps us from falling into sin. And when we sin, it pulls us out of our sin. It's the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ and the gospel, is what saves us. There are many people who understand that there is a God in creation. many people. You go talk to agnostics, you can go talk to pretty much anyone, and almost everyone acknowledges some sort of something had to create us. So it's not enough. Anybody can do it. So understanding God and creation, it's not what's going to save us. There are many people who acknowledge that this is the Bible, that this is God's word. Many people don't understand it and haven't put it into their heart, but they understand it. Therefore, that's not enough. It's not enough to just read the word. You have to understand it and let it soak into your heart. You have to put your faith into Jesus Christ. That is salvation. And we must repent. Repentance is the only way that we receive Christ. It's understanding that, yes, I'm a sinful person. I have done this. I repent of my sins. I accept Jesus. That is what saves us. You don't get a free ticket into heaven based off of what you think you understand in God's creation. If that were so, then every single person, everybody that has ever lived, probably would be in heaven. But that's not so the case all the time. Because God punishes sin. It is very real. It is very real. So we must accept Jesus Christ. It is the only way we are going to get to heaven. It's the only way we are not going to receive the wrath of God, is full acceptance of Jesus. It is the only way. And how we get that to other people. Because many of us can say, well, I've done this, I've done that. And I'm going to say, great, have you given that to somebody else? Have you given the gospel to someone else? Because what kind of friend would I be if I know that I see a friend of mine suffering in his sin or her sin, falling to the traps of temptation from the devil, and not giving them this free gift that God gave us, which is his word. He gave us Jesus Christ so that we wouldn't have to accept the punishment. That's what he did for us. His people in the Old Testament received the full wrath of God. Jesus on the cross received the full wrath of God. So we don't have to do that. That's just how much God loves us. And in Romans, we understand that what it does, it pulls out and reveals just how sinful we are. And now that sinfulness isn't supposed to cause us to feel shameful. It isn't supposed to make us feel bad about ourselves. What it's supposed to do is to put our trust in Jesus, is to say, wow, I am. So then the only way out is faith in Jesus Christ. The only way out is to repent of that and to accept Jesus. It's the only way you get into heaven. Now we're going to get into the by faith. We're going to get into later on the faith of Abraham and of James. We're going to talk about these, right? Was it Abraham's faith or was it his works? So we're going to talk about that and how later on I'm going to just say it's both. It's both. But it is the only way that we get into heaven is faith. It is by faith we are saved. It's the Lutheran doctrine says sola gratia, sola fide, by grace through faith we are saved. It's by the grace of God through faith that we are saved. And the only way that we are going to not receive the punishment of our sins that we so deserve is by faith in Jesus Christ. And the only way that other people are going to know about that is through the gospel in which we bring to them. And so like I said earlier, if there's nothing else that you receive today from me, it is this. It is just how much we need the gospel. It's how much society needs the gospel. When I started to take out the they's and put in the we's, we start to understand. Verse 28, and since we did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave us up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. We were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, covetousness, evil, malice. We have chosen, therefore we are being punished. But we don't have to be punished because of Jesus Christ on the cross. We don't have to receive that punishment. You can freely come to Jesus at his feet and accept him. You can repent of your sins and you can be forgiven. And every day we must come to him like so. Every day we must have this need of reliance on Jesus Christ. And every day we must bring that to others because we don't know when the hour is coming. We don't know when God's going to call us home. And for some it's too late. Which is why evangelism is so important in our society. And that's why people get weird with Christians. They see these weird Christians out there proclaiming the gospel to everybody. And why are you so weird about it? I'm weird about it because you don't understand just what's going to happen to you if you don't accept Jesus Christ. That at some point, it's too late. At some point, it's too late for some people. And so this is why we must evangelize. We must bring the gospel to others. And so my final point is, again, the gospel. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Understand your need of a Savior. Repent of your sin and accept Jesus. Amen.